Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Basement Binge, to another episode that I am surprisingly very excited for, especially after coming. I mean, of all episodes, I decided to come back with Morbius. It's good to be talking about someone that's pretty good. And I'm also joined by the great Matt from Matt Goes to the Movies. It's been a while since I had an episode, been even longer since we had him on the show. So I'm glad that he could come back. So, Matt, thank you for being here.
Oh, I am so excited to be here, not only to talk about this movie, but like you said, it's been quite a while. So it's always a pleasure to be on the show and like kind of pick your brain, so to speak, and hear what you think, because I always love hearing your opinion.
Oh, well, thank you. Likewise. And if I remember right, you have done an episode on the first Sonic movie, right?
Yes, I did. Jeez, who knows how long ago it is now with these things. But yes, I did do an episode on the first Sonic movie because it was something that I enjoyed a great deal.
Okay, yeah, I remember hearing your thoughts about it, and I couldn't remember, like, is that an episode I listened to, or is that a conversation we had? So I had to check. I will link that episode in addition to the episode I recorded on Sonic the Hedgehog, the first one, below, if you want to get our thoughts about the first film as we talk about the second one. So we will just jump right into our first segment, 2 cents, which is spoiler free. Just kind of give you our spoiler free thoughts. Then we're going to give Matt a chance to talk about what he's doing at Matt Goes to the Movies, exciting things happens, some other announcements, and then we'll get into the rest of the segments talking about Sonic the Hedgehog 2. So 2 cents, completely spoiler free. I guess kind of briefly, like, to sum up my thoughts, Sonic, the first one, I feel like captured this weird magic between like self-awareness to the ridiculous idea of a blue, like super speed hedgehog, combined with Jim Carrey's Dr. Robotnik. Like it was just a good atmosphere. And then they captured good heart to it, where it didn't feel cheesy, it didn't feel forced. Like it was just a good balance. Like it wasn't breaking any ideas, it wasn't like breaking the mold, but it just used the mold really, really well. And I feel like they did that same thing here while also just dialing up the things that made the first one good, like references to the game and the history of Sonic. Take that up, like, obviously the new characters they bring in, but also just throughout the film, like a genuine relationship and like character and emotion for Sonic, taking that up a lot. The ridiculousness of Jim Carrey and the humor that is so well done, that like is a Jim Carrey that I've missed. Mm-hmm. Taking that up again. I don't know. It seemed like all the things I enjoyed and made the first one so good, they did more of, but not in like, oh, we need to replicate what we did before. Let's like dump more in and it like gets annoying. It was just like a good expansion of something good that came before, which I was like surprised about. Like I had excitement and good expectations for this, but I walked out having a better time than I thought that I would, because I just felt like everything I enjoyed about the first, this had more of.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, our reviews and our thoughts for the first Sonic will be linked in the show notes, but Sonic the Hedgehog was, I think, the first true video game movie for people to say, that's a good movie, not, well, it's good for a video game. And my spoiler-free thoughts are, I am amazed that lightning has struck twice and that Sonic the Hedgehog seems to be the franchise that has pulled the video game movie out of the proverbial, like,
right,
mud, ooze, whatever you want to say. And seems like there's a really bright future ahead of this universe that they're creating for Sonic. It's crazy to think about. You mentioned Morbius, but who would have thought that this movie here, like Sonic the Hedgehog 2, pays great attention to the lore and history of Sonic. If you are a Sonic the Hedgehog fan, there are so many Easter eggs, references. There's so much care that went into this movie. It's almost dumbfounding, so to speak, because there's so much love and effort put into this video game movie that you usually don't see from this type, from a video game franchise. You don't see this level of care. You know, certainly I saw Uncharted, not to get off track, and that was good. I enjoyed it, but there's still not the level of detail I felt in that. Like, to me, Sonic the Hedgehog and the second one too is the pinnacle of video game movies. But again, it's time to get past that saying and just saying Sonic the Hedgehog 2 was a good movie. Forget video game movies. This is a good movie. And that's my spoiler-free thoughts. This is a good movie.
Yes, I completely agree. I mean, just to kind of comment about some things first, just in an idea of like being a good movie, you know, sans video game, is that like the relationship between Tails and Sonic and that friendship that they develop over the film, I felt like was so genuine and had so many sincere moments where it wasn't like, oh, hey, here's this character that has a history and here's this character that has a history. We're going to put them together because people who know Sonic know that these two characters go together. It's like, yes, that is true. And that is part of these characters. And it's done respectfully to that. But it's also like, hey, here's a character that's in a movie and here's a character in a movie. Let's write them as genuinely characters that are together and have a good relationship. Like I was really impressed by that.
They have a great balance of you just said it, where okay, fans of Sonic the Hedgehog know Sonic and Tails, so the fact that they managed to still make them two characters that come together, write a good script, and actually have you care about those two. Not only does the casual fan sit there and care about their relationship, but somebody who is like adore Sonic or like grew up on Sonic, then they even like there was even more, maybe for me more so than you. I don't want to like put words in your mouth, but having like grown up with Sonic, and I talked about this during our video game episodes that we did together with our top 100 video games. I grew up on Sonic. I have fond memories of Sonic the Hedgehog on the Sega Genesis. So to see them write a good script for Tails and Sonic to come together, the casual fan is like, wow, that's actually really good. And for me, I'm like, oh my God, how did you capture the relationship so well on screen? Like, geez, you didn't just phone it in. Like, you made a good, compelling reason why you like these two characters coming together, and seeing that by the end of the movie, you're like, yeah, this is the Sonic and Tails I know.
Yeah, that was going to be my next point about it being a good video game movie as well, is that, you know, with that included in that statement, if you will, is that it feels like it has genuine respect for what it is referencing. That's not the right word. What it's based off of. I don't know. I forgot that. Like, I'm not as engrossed in the Sonic lore as you. I played a few games. I watched a few of the shows, but I don't know that much. But I know enough to know when I'm seeing something that is based off of or inspired by a story that I'm slightly familiar with, if you know what I mean. Or like, and then I was watching a lot of videos, and a lot of people were saying like, yeah, these storylines are adapted from storylines that happened in the game. You know, it's not just like copy paste, but it's an adaptation of what was told. And especially I don't like doing this, but I think it speaks volumes to Sonic. Comparing it to Halo, because that's another video game adaptation that's happening right now. I'm not caught up on it the way that you guys are. Matt's going to mention in a minute, him and Rob are doing reviews on it. So definitely go listen to those. But from what I've watched and from what I've heard you guys say, it feels like you kind of have two options with a video game movie, so to speak. You have the option to make a good movie that doesn't really reference the game. It's not very respectful, not very well adapted from the lore of the game, but it's a good movie or it's a good story, you know, kind of on its own in a vacuum. Or you can make a movie or a show or whatever it is that really references the game and is off of that. And I feel like Halo lands in that first camp where it's like, this is a good like sci-fi story that's compelling that just has Halo costumes. Like this isn't Halo, where Sonic, I felt like both was happening, which was just, and maybe it's because it doesn't happen so much before that I was impressed, and that's kind of sad. But like you said, I was just, they do both so well.
Yeah, again, even the little things that they do that comes with the movie poster being a direct reference to Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for Sega Genesis. You know, just the detail that they put into the poster. One of the poses that Sonic does during a scene in the movie, I won't mention it because that's spoilers, it's a direct pose from Sonic Adventures. One of the fight scenes is a direct take from the animated show, the opening from it. They took so many things and just crafted this really well done. I mean, it seems cliche because almost everything is now, but they have crafted this universe between the first and the second movie now that, I mean, I can honestly say, good God, give me as much Sonic as you can right now. Like if you yes. keep doing this and the people involved go for Sonic 3, Sonic 4, whatever we get, yeah, I'm all for it. And it's even more amazing. Let's backtrack what? 5, 6, when did the first Sonic come out?
It was like right the beginning of 2020, like about the time the shutdowns happened. It was like March 2020.
Right. But think about even before that, what was the very first thing that happened with Sonic the Hedgehog?
The horrible trailer, the redesign.
Controversy. People up in arms about that design when that first trailer dropped. And let's give them credit because how many times have we seen studios say, we don't care. This is what you're getting. We don't care about the fan base. Too bad. They delayed the movie. They spent $5 million to redesign Sonic. And this is what who would have guessed that this is what we got where people said, you know what? We are going to show like love, respect to this character and the fan base and still make something that people like. When I was in the theater seeing this, I went with my two boys, and it made it even all the more enjoyable. It made it a blast. I knew I could tell by reactions, and when people in the theater, and then when we left the theater, there were adults in that theater that enjoyed that movie.
Yes.
Like it was as plain as the sunshine and bright that people left that theater going, oh, I enjoyed that. There were parents like, oh my God, I can't wait until hopefully Sonic 3 and I'll take my kids to that. That was fun. That was a good family experience.
Yeah, I told Matt this before we started recording. I went to a showing that was like on a Friday at 10 in the morning and I was the only adult who wasn't there with a child. I was just by myself. I don't have any kids. But me and some other adults were the ones that were like laughing and reacting the loudest. Like the kids definitely were, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was fun. But like me and some of the other adults were the ones that were having the most audible reactions. And then the movie ended and there's like a kind of post-credit scene. I'll just call it like a mid-credit scene. Some kids were, you know, like a kid does, they're like ready to go. And the parents were like, wait, hold on. We got to wait. And so the other way around. And I thought it was awesome. The other thing that I'll say about Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is that because you talk about the redesign, like those poor visual effects artists. And one of the things that I will say in my Sonic the Hedgehog episode, because in my brain to you, Matt, I haven't recorded it yet, but to the people listening, I've recorded it, is how I love how they incorporate like the brand endorsements that are clearly there because of the money that had to be spent on the redesign, and they just completely embrace it. And then this second one, they make it a part of the lore of the Sonic Hedgehog like movies, like this, the you know that guy, like the Olive Garden, so to speak, like that comes up again, which is it's not like a like oh lampshade self awareness. It's like a genuine thing. Like yeah, this is the universe that we've created, and we care about it, so we're going to continue with like these characters we've made, and it's awesome.
And the thing is, I mean, let's face it, a reference to Olive Garden, not hating on the restaurant, it has no right to be funny. And it, like, I literally laughed out loud when Olive Garden is mentioned again in this movie. Like, it has no right to be funny. But because there's such a well-crafted movie here and well-crafted characters and dialogue that you actually cared about these people, it makes it funny because you care, like, you just care about this universe. It's weird because, again, too, like, think about how many movies that are like this where you don't care about the human characters. That's one of the things that works about this movie. And the first one, I thought, is the human character element of this. Like, those people work, and there's so many movies you could just name. Like, I would run out of fingers and toes naming movies where you're like, yeah, the humans don't like, good God, I don't care. Not here.
Two things you said that I love. Like, one of my favorite lines in like all movies period is in the first Sonic movie when Dr. Robotnik, Jim Carrey, puts his glasses on and they're broken. He's like, call optical illusions, tell him I need new frames. Like, that's a brand reference, and I like that quote in the movie. Like, I think it's great. And I feel like, and then also that human element. I feel like the people making this understood the things that we enjoyed. We enjoyed these funny references. We enjoyed this humor. So they incorporated that in a good way where we got more of it. We enjoyed the human element. They incorporated that and the relationship between Sonic and I don't remember their names because Tom and Maddie. Like, we get more of that in like the whole time. Actually, that's spoilers. Just the way that they handled the relationship, I was so glad they did. It was a very, very natural progression. I thought that they were going to shy away from, and they didn't. And I loved it. And it was handled really well. And then, honestly, we obviously love Sonic. Like, I saw someone on a Discord I'm on, they were saying how, like, they feel like this movie was just the fan base or the studio realizing that the fan base love it. They're like, oh, you want more Sonic? Well, here's Chaos Emeralds, here's Knuckles, and here's Tails. And they just, like, dump more lore in. And I feel like they did that for everything we love, like more Sonic lore, more human elements with these characters that we care about, more humor. And like, I don't know, I felt like all the quality things, they just continued to make quality. It's not very eloquent, but I think that that's the way that I feel about the film. And I really, really am impressed that they balance that all so well. Like, When that person back on that Discord, when that person mentioned how they feel like the film is just them dumping in more of the lore of Sonic, I was like, oh no, are we gonna abandon what was good about the first? And they don't, like, they don't lose one for the other. Just one last thing I'll say about that is that in the nature of the film, these are actors, you know, Jim Carrey, James Marsden, whoever it may be, acting against a tennis ball or against like a blue prop that they have. You know, and Ben Schwartz in a sound studio recording his audio for Sonic. But it genuinely feels like these are characters in a room together who are interacting. Like, every once in a while you have that visual thing that obviously gives it away, but that's just the nature of the beast. You can't do anything about it, and it doesn't take me out of the film at all. But as far as like the dialogue, the communication, the emotion, I feel like these are characters who are genuinely interacting.
Yeah.
And which is impressive because visually, I mean, we have a hedgehog and a human, but then also just like the visual effects versus live action type of thing. That, I don't know. I just walked out of the film really impressed that like there wasn't a single moment where I felt like Jim Carrey was on his own screaming at the top of his lungs. Like, it always felt like Jim, that Dr. Robotnik is here with Knuckles and he's against Sonic. Like, it's not just Jim Carrey on a green screen, if you know
what I mean. Yeah, 100%.
Any other spoiler-free thoughts that you want to add?
You know, Matt? What? I think I wanted to say something about Jim Carrey, but I think I'll just start gushing and it'll be hard not to talk about why I like him so much without it being spoilers. So at the risk of just starting to spew out spoilers, I'm going to say my spoiler-free thoughts are done.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. I will just add that I loved Jim Carrey in this. The side note of his, I love Jim Carrey in the first. That was like the thing that initially helped me fall in love with the film. And then coming back to it, I developed other things I enjoyed about it. And I was, again, worried that there was part of that that wouldn't be able to deliver a second time. And it definitely does. But I can't say more spoiler free. So we are going to get into the spoilers here. First, I want to give Matt a chance to talk about what he's doing over on his show, Matt Goes to the Movies. So Matt, now's your chance. The floor is yours to talk about Matt Goes to the Movies and all the amazing, exciting things you're doing over there.
Yeah, Harrison, thanks. Over at Matt Goes to the Movies, you know, we talk about movies. Just a regular guy that was kind of sitting at home and wanted to do something when COVID was dominating the world, so to speak, and everybody was sitting at home, and I thought, why don't I just start something? And it's been a great outlet. I've met some great people. First and foremost is the guy that I'm doing this episode with. It's been amazing to generate an actual friendship out of, you know, just you know, the most common basic thing that so many people do, and that's watch movies. But for this month, the two big main things that we're doing over on Matt Goes to the Movies is Rob and I are reviewing Halo. Episodes release on Thursday on Paramount Plus, and Rob and I go over and review them on Saturday. We have all three episodes up right now for review. There's certainly been some great stuff. The last two episodes that we did live and had people inside the chat giving their feedback. That was actually a lot of fun, just as we're talking to incorporate people's live chat about what they thought of the episode and, you know, even just the show in general. So going forward, we're going to continue to do that, do those lives so that listeners can chat in and tell us how they feel. And then one really brand new thing is Rob and I are punishing ourselves. Actually, I'm punishing Rob because I asked him to do this. We are watching, and certainly we're going to try and get Harrison in on this as well. Maybe he won't now because I called it punishment, but we are watching the live action Resident Evil movies, and how that's different than what we normally do on Matt Goes to the Movies is these reviews are actually, we watch the movie and then do a live, we do a immediate video reaction to the movie that is going to be uploaded to YouTube. So the Resident Evil movies will be the first actual video reviews that we've ever done at Matt Goes to the Movies. It's been really exciting. The first Resident Evil movie is coming this week. It'll be uploaded to YouTube, where the link will be in the show notes for Matt Goes to the Movies and things like that. So that has been a lot of fun. That first one, I should say the first one was a lot of fun. And I'm really looking forward to continuing that, because it was just another element to the show that's, you know, expanding, so to speak.
Yeah, thank you for filling everyone in on that. So anything you would need to access, reviews for Podchaser, Matt Goes to the Movies, audio or video, will be linked below. Additionally, Matt hinted at this earlier. It was a few weeks ago. We did our top 100 video games at Matt Goes to the Movies. Obviously Matt, because it's his show, myself, Rob, and then Matt's son, Brandon, and we talked about our top 100 favorite video games. It was a blast. Sonic was mentioned a few times. And so if you enjoy video games, you should definitely go check that out. Again, that's going to be linked. It's over on Matt Goes to the Movies. Obviously a break from form from movies, but it was still a ton of fun. So yeah, thank you for everybody for reviews. Thanks for going over to Matt's show. Thanks for being here. Thank you, and also thank you, Matt, for being here. So let's get on to the next segment here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Which is Pick Your Poison, which is the official rating scale of The Basement Binge, which is all about the bingeability of the film after you watch it. How would you choose to interact with it a second time? There's four options. The bottom of it, the lowest ranking, is to never watch it again, which is completely self-explanatory. Above that is to stream it, meaning it's on a service that you're already paying for, you have access to it, and you're looking for something to watch, you're browsing, and you'd be willing to click on it in that moment of browsing. Above that is to rent it. In the right circumstances, you would seek it out and pay a few dollars, however that is, Redbox, digital, however you rent movies, you'd be willing to do that. Top of the list, you probably guess, is to buy it digitally, physically, however you prefer to buy movies. You want to own this, get the bonus features, have it be a possession of yours, watch it as many times as you like, whatever your reason is. So I will go first in my ranking or rating, and then I will turn it over to Matt to pick his poison. And this is a film, no doubt, that I want to see again. And I'm going to buy it. It's probably not going to be one of those films that I'll pre-order or buy as soon as it's available. I might look for it on a deal. But it is a film that I'm going to want to buy fairly soon after it comes out to watch again. I know I recently rewatched the Sonic Hedgehog movie for the review I'm doing on that. Had a blast. I know I'm going to continue to do that with this film as well. Additionally, when I have kids, this is a film that I would enjoy with them without a doubt. Like, you want those movies that you can put on with your, at least I assume I don't have kids yet. You want those movies you can put on with your kids knowing that they're going to have a good time and you're going to have a good time. And I feel like Sonic the Hedgehog is at the top of that list. So without a doubt for me, it's a buy because this is a film that I want to see again and see myself seeing many times, especially for Jim Carrey. I'll just speak on that real quickly. I feel like this type of Jim Carrey we haven't gotten recently. Like, obviously we can go back and see his classics, and but it's fun to see this type of Jim Carrey in a modern film, for lack of better words, and that's also a reason that I might come back to it. So Matt, what's your poison?
Yeah, you know, this is definitely a buy. I'm such a fan of this movie. I'm such a fan of the first two movies that I feel like once the second one's readily available, I would probably just watch these back to back. And I mentioned this on, I believe it was one other episode, but it's going to be interesting as things just keep evolving in the world of media to, you know, what will constitute a buy, so to speak, going forward? Is there always going to be physical discs? Because think about when you go to a store, how many music CDs do you see anymore? Like, where will we go with movies? But in any shape, way, form of media, this would be a buy for me. If it was, hey, you know, going forward with Paramount Plus, you have access to certain things, but like premium content, you have to buy separate from the $9.99 that you pay a month to have Paramount Plus. I would buy this movie. If there was a way to purchase it, to own it, I would do it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how you talk about the way that media is changing, and like, especially with that, because you just like planted a new idea in my head, especially with that, there's those films that I want to know that I have access mm-hmm. to. You know, because whatever happens is going to happen. And there's those that I don't want to be unsure about. And I'm never thought I would say this. I am surprised that Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is firmly in that list.
There's, and this started for me a long, long time ago. And from what I know about you, Harrison, I think you're the same. There's something about seeing that bookshelf or whatever you have them on and just seeing the spines of your 4Ks, yes, or your Blu-ray. Like, there's something about that that never gets old for me. So,
yeah, I agree. I was actually, you can see behind me, Matt, because we're on a video call, but this bookshelf that sits right behind me is full of Blu-rays. And I was on a video call. I'm getting ready for school. So I was meeting with like an advisor and they're like, what is that on the shelf behind you? And I was like, let me tell you, there are a bunch of Blu-rays. So yeah, I completely agree. So obviously it's a film that we both enjoy. We both, according to the rating scale here at the Basin Binge, rated very highly. So also in ideas of that, especially as this is going to be where the spoilers come in heavier force. With the next segment, Live Up, which is about our expectations going into the film. This has been a film that we've known about for a while. What expectations did we have going in? This is a film that obviously both just saw for the first time. And then naturally, the name of the segment, was it able to live up to those expectations? I'll let you go first with this one, Matt.
So for me, I had such high expectations for this film because I love the first one. I think it's great. It truly, again, to me, it broke the video game curse that everybody talks about and then transcended into, okay, this is just a good movie. Let's stop talking about how it's a good video game movie. Like, no, it's a good movie. And then this came out and then I saw the trailer. And then, like, again, for me, I saw the poster, which paid homage to the second video game box art. And I just kept increasingly going, oh my God, like, it's here. And then, you know, for me, my two boys, Brandon and Peyton, were so excited to see this. And then that built my anticipation up because I was like, oh, I'm going to go with them and they're going to have a good time. And oh man, this is going to be so great. And then we got to the theater and we're sitting there and it starts and it ended. And throughout a whole bunch of times, you mentioned the mid-credit scene. I won't get into that yet. But both of my kids, like, as soon as they mentioned a bit of dialogue, both of my kids grabbed me by the arm and, like, shook me where I was like, ow, knock it off. Like, let go of me. Yeah. because they knew what the dialogue meant. And, like, that, like, everything that happened in this movie was just a joy from start to finish. And even taking my two kids out of the equation, this was just, it was so much fun. It's what I wanted and what I didn't know I wanted from the second Sonic movie. I had no idea that I would enjoy the human characters again as much as I did. I had no idea I would, I'll just say the word, adore Jim Carrey as much as I did. I loved him in the first one, but this, like, you think about Jim Carrey and when he was, I'm using quotation marks, Jim Carrey, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, all of these things, you know, Bruce Almighty, and this guy was untouchable. He was so good. And this just, like, this reminds you of peak Jim Carrey. Now, yeah, I know there's some people that don't like those movies regardless, and they don't like him, and okay. But if you liked Jim Carrey and you liked those movies, like, this is a reminder back to when, you know, The Mask, everything was Jim Carrey. If it was comedy, he was on it, and it was a hit, and he was great. And he is fantastic in this movie. I hope to God his interviews are not true, as he's like, I am thinking about retiring. I hope he just seems like he's having such a great time with his character that he will, you know, come back to this and take a break with everything else. Because he's fantastic. It would be a shame to not see him again in future installments. James Marsden, you know, who was back from the first movie, the Donut Lord, Tom. he's great. You know, good Lord, if I like James Marsden a lot, if ever there is an actor that deserves to be pulled back into the MCU and get another chance at Cyclops, I think it's this guy. I think fans would love to see him back as Cyclops, but he's so good. Like, I like him so much. There's just like this weird wholesomeness about him.
Yes.
Like, it's so good. Like, I just sat there, and when there were serious moments, I sat there and I watched along and listened to the dialogue when he was being serious and having talks with Sonic. When there were jokes and the sister, the sister's fiance was like, "You got a lot of nerve, buddy." Like, I sat there and I laughed along with that. It just, there's so many things that happen in this movie that just, they hit for the right reasons. They hit because they're funny. They're hit because they're heartfelt. This movie totally lived up to my expectations and went further than what I thought. This movie, by the end of it, made me say, you have to give me a Sonic 3. You have to. You cannot stop this franchise.
Wow. So many things you said that I want to comment on. The first one that I'll just say about Jim Carrey is that I completely agree with everything you said. The only thing that I'll add to it is that it doesn't feel like it's at the loss of a character. Right. Like, it doesn't feel like, oh, here comes Jim Carrey to be Jim Carrey. It's like, here comes Jim Carrey to be Dr. Robotnik, and it's a perfect combo. And it works so well. So what were my expectations? Really kind of similar. There were things that I think I kind of said most of it is in two cents that I really, really enjoyed about the first, and I wanted more of it, but I was kind of worried we wouldn't get it, or that the balance wouldn't be there. And we got more of it, and the balance was even better. Mm-hmm. The one thing that really just got to me was that I mentioned a little bit is I didn't know that I wanted the relationship between Sonic and Tom to develop into like a father-son relationship by the end of the first film. But in this film, that's what I wanted. And that weird wholesomeness that James Marsden has, that when Sonic didn't, you know, he's like, "You're not my dad." I was like, but he should be. Like, you know, and by the time we got to the end of the film and he calls him dad, or I don't remember exactly how it says it, it gets to that relationship. I was like, yeah, like that's what I want for these characters. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that I would want that. And, I laughed at the funny moments. I enjoyed the references. My involvement in the Sonic lore came at when Knuckles and Sonic were like on a team, so to speak. Like, I didn't know that there was a history where they were opponents or enemies. And so that was really, really new to me in the trailer and then also in this film. And I felt like that was just handled so well. And the character of Knuckles, I feel like is almost like the only thing I have to compare it to is Drax.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Idris Elba plays him so well. Like you said, by the end of it, I was like, I want this because I want more of Idris Elba's Knuckles. And now to see how he's going to interact with Sonic and Tails. I want more of that. And, I enjoyed the fight scenes. They're awesome. The visual effects are awesome. And the way it's filmed, it looks great. It's visually engaging. But then there's also those moments, like I think about that moment when Sonic is sitting, or Knuckles is sitting on the beach and he's like, "Don't touch me." And he's like upset. And Sonic throws a sandball or whatever it is at him. And then they have a serious conversation. Like, "You said you lost everything. Like, how did you keep going?" Like, I was involved in that. I was like, man, I'm really feeling for Knuckles right now. And Sonic's response is so genuine and like so sincere. And who doesn't need to hear that some point in their life? And then there was like part of me like, is this too on the nose? Like, is this one of those moments where the filmmakers are like, we need to have a message. We need Harrison's going to get to fall in. We need him. We need something for him to talk about. no, it is direct, because that's the type of a genuine response you have. When someone asks you that question, you don't beat around the bush. You give a direct response. And I don't know. I just in every way, it was better than I thought, because I was worried it would lose those qualities that I loved about it. And it just had more of those qualities.
Yeah, well, think about, if I can for a second, you know, you're talking about that beach scene. And think about the fact, okay, Sonic throws, you know, the sandball at Knuckles, and Knuckles throws a beach ball back at him, basically, of sand. And I'm sure you did exactly what you did just now, because my theater did. You laughed. And then 5 seconds later, you turned your tone and you were listening to a serious conversation that you were engaged in. A lot of movies have a hard time making that work. This movie was able to, it could balance that tone of, okay, that was funny, to all of a sudden, like, okay, now we're in a serious moment. You know, you talked about these, you know, these human actors looking at a tennis ball or whatever they're using as the effect to be like, this is your viewpoint of this is where Sonic's going to be. You know, think about towards the end when they're sitting there, the three of them, and he's like, I love you guys. Like, they're talking, they're looking at a tennis ball, or like you said, whatever it is they're looking at, and they're evoking emotion. And I get it. You're an actor and that's what you get paid to do. But we've seen some pretty bad actors.
Like, yeah.
And it works. And you're sitting there going, this is a pretend hedgehog. This is a kid's movie. And yet, do you think that they're not? This is spoilers. Do you think they're not going to make it? No, you know everything's going to be okay, but you can't help but to feel that little swell, like, oh, that's yeah, sweet. Like, that's it came full circle from the talk in the boat at the beginning of the movie between Tom and Sonic. It's managed to come full circle. My theater died laughing when Knuckles is reading the text messages and he dot, 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 dot. Like, my theater was dying laughing. And then you get to a serious moment a couple seconds later, and then you could tell, like, the theater was focusing on the movie. You went from laughing to being like, okay, what's going on? Like, what is this with the Master Emerald? And okay, focus on the story. They're trying to tell us something that's happening. They just balanced it so well.
Yeah, I really, really agree. Because you have those films where, like you're saying, you have those serious moments, you have those exposition moments, you have those action moments, you have your funny moments. And like a perfect example, the live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies that we've reviewed here. The first one where the four turtles are on that pillar and they think they're dying, and Mikey professes his love for his brothers, and then it's immediately undercut by a joke. Like, that's a moment where, like, I clearly feel like a record scratch in tone, and I'm like, oh, here we go, we shifted tone, and it's almost like someone missed the clutch as they're shifting gears type of thing. Like, it's really obvious. Where this one, the film ended, I'm kind of walking out of the theater and I'm thinking about the funny moments, I'm thinking about the serious moments, and I'm like, wow, they really had a lot of things. And then my brain's trying to go back through the movie and think, was there a moment where I felt like I was jumping between the two, obviously, you know, where I felt kind of jarred by the change of it? And there wasn't a moment where I could pick that out. Like, there wasn't a moment where the scene cut and I was like, oh, we're in a different tone now. Like, it was just a really, really good flow. Consistently, you know, whether we were having that hilarious scene with the wedding, like when the sister drifted on the golf cart and it exploded behind her, like, I was laughing so loud. And whether we go from that to whatever it may be, to Chaos Emeralds and Jim Carrey floating up in like a green electricity thing, you know, like, I didn't feel jarred by the differences in the tones.
And think about how, you know, what you just stated, she you know, Tokyo drifts on a golf cart and walks out of it. And think, like, out loud, think about how tacky that sounds. And maybe to a listener right now, you're like, there's no way that's good. But so many things, and especially, you know, because of the first movie too, what has happened from the first movie through the second movie up until that point makes you care about that character. So something that could easily be in another movie, tacky, or something that you normally wouldn't think that you would enjoy, you laugh at, because again, my amazement of how these writers, you know, and just everybody involved has made you actually care about what is happening. Like, you actually feel bad. Like, that whole scene is because she's tricked for a wedding, and you actually feel bad for her. Like, you feel bad. So when she's going absolutely nuts, you're like, yeah, get him.
Yeah. I agree with you that I mean, just as like a note of something that was really, really well balanced between all of them, was just as like an example, there's a scene in the film, if you've seen it, you know, where Tom, James Marsden, gets like the little girl, I forget her name, that his niece is the ring bearer, and he like teases her by taking one of the rings, and he has one of Sonic rings. And when that was happening, I was like, oh yeah, like this is totally going to lean to a scene where it's the wrong ring and they accidentally get the Sonic ring. Like, I saw that coming, but it didn't feel like it was a moment where it's like, oh, we need to force some interaction later, so let's have our character do something so we can get to point B. Like, that felt like something that the character of Tom would actually do, would tease his niece that way. And then it wasn't like, oh, here, we set up this gag, let's immediately pull it out later. Like, it was a few minutes before that gag came full circle, like actually quite a few minutes. And when it did come full circle, I was like, oh yeah, here we go. Like, here's the gag that they set up. And I was expecting it, but I was excited. Like, oh my gosh, like this is the scenario and it's going to come up. I can't wait to see how this interaction goes between Tom and the sister, because that relationship is funny and it's her wedding. Like, this is going to be a funny interaction. I'm looking forward to it. And like just the writing in that whole thing, they just avoided some of the pitfalls you can get in those types of writing scenarios, and also made it really good where I was impressed with how they used it, instead of like, oh, you know, we got the typical thing where, you know, the things get switched type of thing. I don't know. That was just one moment that really stood out to me where the writing was.
Yeah. And I mean, just think about it again. They balance a tone because, okay, you think that's going to happen. It does happen. But I'll tell you what, after he throws the ring and Sonic comes through, the next scene that we get, did you think that's what was happening? No, you probably thought, oh, this is going to be a whole bunch of comedy between him and the sister and everything. And then they throw you kind of, I shouldn't say like left field. It's not like a like, oh my God, what a swerve. But it's like, wait a minute, what? Like, there's agents at the wedding. The, you know, the government guy that loves Olive Garden is back. And wait, they're capturing Sonic and Tails. Like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Like, wait, no. Like, and they're like, Robotnik's back. And you're like, yeah, idiot, Robotnik's back. Like, what are you doing? Like, you can't lock up Sonic. But they managed to get you with a scene that's like, okay, funny. And then they shift it and you're like, wait, no, like, you can't do this right now. Like, what are you doing? But like, you're invested.
Yes. And I'm glad that you brought that up as well, because after that great scene with the rings and Sonic comes through, I was expecting like, Robotnik's back, we're urgent to go stop him. The drama that's going to prevent it from happening is going to be the fight between Sonic and the sister who's supposed to be having her wedding, you know, like the typical drama that delays the event. And that was just like totally avoided. And it was something completely different that fit. Like, it wasn't like, oh, here, we're going to subvert your expectations like they did. But it was something that was natural. And I was like, oh, yes, like this is what would happen type of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Really, really. And these are not the things that I was expecting to say about Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I was expecting to like it, but I was kind of expecting to be like, yeah, I liked it. It wasn't great. But it, you know, it's a good follow up to a film that was really good. You know, like it's slightly a step down, where I feel like this is a step up from the first one, which was already a step up from so much.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, it's, I don't think you can really understate how impressive it is that the sequel is better in this type of environment. Like, not only, like, you know, again, did they improve upon things from the first one and still manage to make, you know, human characters interesting, but the respect that went into this, it's really rare, because, you know, a lot of the times you don't get that. Like, this, you know, this movie sat there and did fan service without the sake of sacrificing the movie. You know, we talked about, yes, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. That movie is one big trailer for, look what we want to give you. Here's a nice, yeah, pack. Here's a nice, pretty package. But it's for something else. And they threw in so much fan service with, you know, when Harry pulls up the computer screen and you see mentions of Venom, Morbius, Kraven. And then there's the Sinister Six scene where you see all of those, you know, those suits and the outfits. And it's like, yeah, there's so much. And there's, you know, Felicia Harding's in there. And like, ooh, we know that she's Black Cat and everything in between. And there's so much fan service into that movie. But it's not a good movie. This, and again, that's my opinion. Maybe somebody's listening to this episode that's like, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is great. And honestly, I'm super happy for you. I'm glad you enjoy I'm glad you enjoy it. I'm not here to say that, oh, well, your opinion is wrong. Just in my opinion, it was fan service for the sake of fan service. And it didn't work. This movie throws so much fan service at you. The, you know, again, since we're in spoilers, when he makes the giant death, you know, the giant death egg machine, the manual is the Sega Genesis, for God's sakes. Just that little tiny aspect. The coffee shop is called Mean Bean, which is a reference to the Mean Bean game. You know, all of the like I was talking about, the fight where he has with Knuckles, where he's like, why won't you stand still? And he's just continually punching at him. That's the opening, like, intro to the Sonic Adventures TV show. His pose when he's dancing in the bar is a pose from Sonic Adventures. There's so much fan service. The mid-credit scene, it's a file from 50 years ago. That's the exact lore for that character. I'm like getting excited here. Sorry. but it's just, it's not fan service for the sake of fan service. It means something. There's care behind it in a good movie.
Yes, and it's crazy that all of these things exist so uniformly together. As I saw different elements in the trailers kind of highlight different aspects of the film, I was like, one of these is going to break the mold and kind of fall apart. But it just made that unity even stronger and really just exceeded what I thought it was, what I thought Hollywood writers were capable of.
Yeah.
Genuinely. And I'm not saying that to be hyperbolic. Like, this genuinely exceeded not just my expectations for the film, but what I thought we were capable of producing in, you know, the 21st century Hollywood.
Well, again, you know, you're talking about the typical tropes and everything. Think about the main part of the movie. So by the end of the movie, you know, I think maybe anybody would maybe think this, but Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails are together. Okay. Now think about how cliche that usually is in a movie. Knuckles wants to fight Sonic. Oh, by the end of it, they team up. And it's just like, yeah, just okay, you got there, whatever. Again, even that, which has been done time and time again to exhaustion, and has missed the mark so many times in so many movies that even you and I individually have talked about on the show, or, you know, on our shows, or even watched in our personal lives and have never done a podcast review of it. Think about how many times that hasn't worked. And even that works in this movie. There's a logical step each time why Knuckles gets to where he is. It makes sense within the story of his character and the context of what happens in the movie. It's not just, well, we want a cool moment for them to be together. No, there's a logical story progression as to why these three are now together.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I saw it coming that they were going to get together, and I was like, again, I was a little worried, like, where's that moment where he just crosses the line because they need to cross the line to be together? And it happened where he kind of like meandered on both sides of the line for a little bit, and it's because his interest was genuinely in the Chaos Emerald. Like, he didn't necessarily have anything against Sonic. It was just that Sonic was in his way to the Chaos Emerald. And then, I don't know. It's just that has been so mistreated so many times. And I did not ever expect that the breakthrough was going to be Sonic and Knuckles with Jim Carrey in between them. And somehow it was.
Yeah, I think, you know, and again, action in this movie. Well done. The scenes between him and Knuckles, you know, that first introduction, and even just just the simplicity. And I you know, Jim Carrey, when he shows up to the house for the first time and he's like, I don't know how you came back, but you're going to be sorry that you did. And he goes after him, and like, Harrison, you can see me because we're talking through video right now, where this is, you know, listeners, this is just audio. But all of a sudden he moves to the side and he's just like moving while Knuckles is coming behind him, and he's making that face. Like, I was like cracking up because like his body movement and his facial expression in that moment was so funny. Just like, ha ha.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, boy, there's just so many little things in the movie when he's in the Death Egg. And the song is called, what is the song called? I think it's by Pantera. I forgot what the song is called, but, and he just starts swinging his arms back and forth, and then he's playing the guitar on his leg, and it's just like, yeah, again, it's funny, but it's not. It's that rare occasion where, again, you're not just going, all right, well, there's Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey. You're like, no, that's Robotnik. Like, that's what Robotnik would do. Like, I've so identified him with Robotnik at this point between the two movies that I'm like, yeah, that's not Jim Carrey doing that. That's Dr. Robotnik.
Yes. Yeah. And the other scene that like really, really did that for me was at the Mushroom Planet. Like, just when he starts, like what a great way to start the film, because I was waiting for Jim Carrey. And I just feel like, especially because I found this really interesting in his interviews. I mean, the sad part of it saying he's retiring, which I hope isn't true, but also talking about how like he really doesn't do sequels. This is the third time that he's reprised a character. Jim Carrey, how long has he been an actor? This is the third time he's been a character, second film. And he talks about how he doesn't like sequels because he always wants to do something new. But Robotnik felt different because the second one isn't like a newer version of the character because of what he goes through and how he changes. And I felt like he just took it up a notch in all the right ways. And it just wasn't just like, oh, hey, we paid for Jim Carrey, let's you know, let him turn it up to 11. It's like Jim Carrey is really enjoying this character. And this is the character that he's created. And then I came to see, I didn't come to see Jim Carrey. I came to see Dr. Robotnik, to be honest.
Right. And, you know, that's my, I hold out my hope that he'll come back, because he still isn't progressed to, there's still more levels for him to become the, you know, Dr. Robotnik that Sonic fans know. There's still progression, which gives me hope that he'll come back because there's more layers. He's, you know, he can come back for another movie and there's still another growth in that character that now he can portray.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they gave the Easter egg of his, you know, his big belly. Yes. So we got to get that eventually. There's just so many moments where it was like, man, this is what I wanted, and it's working so well. I think that I'm so excited to say these things is because I didn't. I knew I was going to like it. I expected to like it. I expected to have a good time talking about it, but I didn't expect to be this passionate mm-hmm. about how good it really is. I don't know. Any other thoughts for Live Up?
No, I think, I think we've covered what the main, you know, I guess the only other thing that I could say is, they do such a good job for people that know Sonic and Tails, the way that they build that relationship and, you know, Tails coming to help him and being, you know, I'm just a tech person. I don't do these things. And then Sonic, you know, genuinely being upset when Tails gets hurt. They just do such a great job building that relationship throughout the movie. That's another thing that I was looking forward to, and they exceeded expectations in that area as well.
Yeah, I really that relationship between Tails and Sonic was done just extremely well. The only other thought I have for Live Up, which is a weird like test that I do with movies. Most movies have a single that they release that plays during the credits, mm-hmm. right? Sonic has this one. I think it's like High in the Sky or something. Sky something. It has the word sky in it. I don't remember. And it works good. I feel like both movies have had a good single that matched the film. But so what I do is I listen to the single or whatever you want to call it, the song, during the credits. And then I go home and a few days later, I'll listen to the song again. And how it makes me feel is a good determination about how I feel for the film. And the test, so to speak, is if it makes me feel nostalgic. If it makes me feel nostalgic and reminiscent and almost like a bittersweet feeling, like I'm not quite experiencing what I experienced before, if you get what I mean, then I know that it was a good movie. Where like that single is just like a little teaser of how good the movie was. And this film absolutely did that. Like I listened to the song and it's not, I mean, the song's good too, but as I listened to it, I felt nostalgic for how much fun I had in the movie that I was like, man, I want to go back to the movie where I was listening to this song the first time after having a great time in the movie. And weird test that I do for myself, but try it out sometime. It's interesting. And I felt like that speaks volumes to the quality of the movie where I already feel nostalgic for it because of how good it is.
Yeah.
Kind of weird, but okay. Well, that leads us into the next segment, which we've already talked about a lot, binge points. These are Easter eggs, details, behind the scenes trivia. This part is mainly going to be Easter eggs because there's a lot in this film. Matt, you'll probably know more than I do. You already have pointed out a bunch, so any in particular that you really, really want to mention?
I mean, it's just the whole thing throughout is just it is Easter eggs and paying homage to Sonic lore. I mean, the main one is the mid-credit scene. Like you said, it's not a complete post-credit scene because it happens halfway through. But we found a file dating back 50 years when we were searching Robotnik. And he's like, dear God, Project Shadow. Like, you know, that's straight from the lore. Like, that is a huge Easter egg. But, you know, there's so many. Sonic Adventure 2, you know, the gun reference. That's straight out of Sonic Adventure. There's a helicopter that says SA-2, you know, Sonic Adventure 2. Like, in Sonic's Origin. All these stupid things. The side of the plane that Tails flies, there's a number 761. It refers to Sonic's top speed. Like, I could name them all, so I'll stop at those ones if you have any more that you're adding.
The only thing that I was really going to say, because again, my involvement in the lore of Sonic is minuscule compared to yours, and most of them that I noticed we've already mentioned. The two that I really, really like, what was the first one that I was about to say? Oh, is that the Project Shadow, that when we get Golden Sonic at the end, if that's the right term for it, I don't know. I was like, ooh, are they going to tease Shadow for the next one? Because like they teased Tails at the end of the first film. And I was like kind of excited. And then they did. And the look of Shadow, I was like, oh my gosh, like that is the Shadow that I remember. Right. And it just like, again, my experience with the lore is kind of limited, but it just like hit a place like, oh, that Shadow, which was super fun. The other thing is that I've talked about it a lot, the interaction between Tails and Sonic, but the amount of times that Tails says, only Sonic the Hedgehog could blank, you know, and fill in the blank. I just loved every single time Tails said that. I was like, yes, this is Tails. You know, like when Sonic laughs and calls it a butt copter, and he's like, butt copter. And Tails is like, only Sonic the Hedgehog could come up with a name butt copter or something like that. And it's just like, man, it's not necessarily an Easter egg, but it's more of just like, these are the characters. And I just loved. So
yeah,
I don't have any others really.
Yeah, no, I mean I mentioned it, but you know, Agent Stone, the coffee shop, Mean Bean Machine, throwback to the Genesis game, the Sega Genesis manual, for the Death Egg, the Eggman's outfit when he's looking through for different looks for him, the underwater bubble, Sonic's plane, the fact that they snowboarded, which was in Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Knuckles. Like, there's the way that Knuckles punches the emerald out of Dr. Robotnik. It's incredibly similar to the beginning of Sonic the Hedgehog 3, where he punches, you know, Sonic with the Chaos Emeralds. It just, there's so much going on here. The Sonic Adventure cover art is the pose that Sonic strikes during the dance scene. That is the exact pose from the Sonic Adventure. There's so much.
The only one that I have that I love is that the film, like, almost like an emotional core for Sonic in the first film was that he had to play baseball alone. And this film ends with him playing baseball with his new friends. And, you know, like, that's just a small thing, but it felt like an Easter egg to the character of Sonic. You know, I mean, that's just, like, good storytelling. But to me, it was good enough that it earned itself a binge point.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And Knuckles is funny in that scene, too. Like,
yeah, he's absolutely hilarious. Yeah, Knuckles' comments about baseball are like, I wish I had them memorized, because they are like, I was dying laughing. It was hilarious.
And now I have mastered the base of second. Like,
I had no idea. That's the other thing, that Idris Elba was that funny.
Right.
And he plays Knuckles so well. I like that scene when he's talking about how he's just going to fight Dr. Robotnik, and like how his drones aren't a match for him and all this stuff. He's like, oh, they are stairs.
Yeah.
Just like walks up.
These are stairs.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. The one other Easter egg, just because we've done Fast and the Furious, is when they make it to the temple with the owl where they get the compass, Tails and Sonic are there, and they're talking about how the Echidna and Longclaw, the owls, I don't know how to refer to them, have been fighting forever. And Sonic is like, oh, kind of like The Rock and Vin Diesel.
Right, yeah.
I died laughing. I thought that was so funny. I mean, like, that's probably going to go over every single kid's head in the theater, but that is a fantastic line. The other thing that I wanted to mention in Live Up is that I love how they kept Sonic as a kid. Like, he's clearly just a kid who's obsessed with pop culture references, and like, that's who he is. And it makes for good quips and fun lines in the film, but it also just keeps the character.
Right. Yeah. 100%.
The other thing that I really loved is the like the loop that Sonic does on the skateboard when he's by himself, I was like, oh my gosh, he's rolling in the loop. I just love that. So, any other binge points you want to add?
No, I am good on those.
Okay. So let's move on to the next segment to kind of wrap it up here. Lease and likes, which is our least favorite scene and our favorite scene. Pretty straightforward. So let's start with our least favorite and then we'll go on to our favorites. Matt, what is your least favorite scene from the film? If you have one.
So I do. And it's strictly because it is way, way out of place compared to everything else in this movie. There is one scene. It's when they are I forgot where they went to, but when they're snowboarding and everything like that, there is one scene where Robotnik is in his hover egg and he comes up onto the screen and the mountains are behind him. It compared to the rest of the movie, it looks so fake. Like it is such an obvious green screen. For a split second, I was really like, holy cow, like how is this so bad? Because it's so obvious compared to everything else in the movie that looks real and doesn't look incredibly CGI, that I couldn't help but like that one piece. And it's not forever that scene lasts, but it is so jarring that I was just like, it took me out of the movie for a second because I was just staring at it going, this can't be right. Like, wait, what? Hang on a second. Like, is something going on with my eyesight? Like what just happened? That's my least favorite part because it's so jarring.
That's interesting. That's exactly the one that I was going to point out. Like, there's not really a moment that's like, how can I say this the right way? Like a moment of the film, but a moment of like the story or like a scene that's involved in the story or in the characters that I disliked. Like there wasn't like a moment where I was like, oh, I don't like what they're doing with the characters. I don't like what they're doing with the story, or I didn't like the humor. Like, the one part of the movie that I was like, oh, I didn't like that was, you know, just a misstep or a rushed production on visual presentation of the film, which, again, speaks volumes to the quality of it. So, more excitingly, let's get on to our favorite scene. I will let you go first again, Matt. What's your favorite scene?
It's so hard because I don't, to me, there's not one scene that like stands out head and shoulders above the rest. If I had to really just say, okay, for the sake of the segment, I have to pick one. I really do love the actual introduction to Knuckles with Sonic, because we see Knuckles before that scene. But just his introduction to Sonic, the fight, you know, you saw the scene in the trailer, but just him stopping Sonic with his hand and then basically just like fist pounding him down into the ground like Knuckles is a hammer and Sonic is the nail. The dialogue with like, do I look like I need your power? Like, that scene is really well done, but there's so much to like about this movie. I love the scene of Tom and Sonic in the boat. I love the Death Egg scene. I love Super Sonic. It's just maybe it would be Super Sonic because it's just so cool to see that and him just tear through the Death Egg. But it's hard because there's so much good in this movie. There's so many good scenes. But I think that introduction to Knuckles and Sonic, just because it does set the stage for me, like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's really hard to pick a scene that feels like it stands taller or above the rest. Like, it's really hard for me to point to one and be like, this is my favorite. This is the one that stands out. This is the one I remember what it's like. No, I just remember like the whole thing. Again, for the sake of the segment, exactly like you said, my favorite would be that beach scene with Sonic and Knuckles. I just really liked it. I like the humor. I like what Knuckles says. I like the sincerity of it. I like what it leads to. I like the depiction of Sonic, that Sonic is this just good-hearted person. And I think Longclaw at one point says to him, like, she recognized he was different because of his heart or something like that. And then we see that, like, this is somebody who doesn't hold grudges, who, like, just because you fought him, he's going to, like, fight you. Like, he just saved you, and now he could just go back to fighting you, but he saved you, and now he's, like, going to become your friend. But it's not like a cheesy, like, you know, I'm going to stop the bad guy by becoming his friend, like we've seen before. I don't know. It's just, for a lot of reasons, I'm just going to pick that one. But again, I could mention many. So we will get on to the last segment then, unless there's any other honorable mention scenes that you really want to mention.
The whole movie.
The whole thing. Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing. Okay. Well, we will get into the last segment here, Fall In. I kind of hinted at this earlier. This is the segment of the Basement Binge where we dive into the messages, the meanings, as my dad always told me when he would tell me stories, the moral of the story, right? What is the takeaway, things we can apply into our personal life, which is a surprisingly rich segment for Sonic. I think this is one thing, like we talked about, this is just a good film. I think this is something that both the first one and the second one gets right about, it is that it has a heart at the center of it that's very true and sincere and genuine. And it doesn't feel like it's, you know, thrown in there for the sake of being thrown in there. It feels like it's at the core of the story that it's telling. And I really value that. The thing that I would say for this one is just like there's so many things, but the main thing that I wanted to talk about was just like a goodness to others. Like I talked about the beach scene. Sonic is good to Knuckles. Tails comes to help Sonic and is good to Sonic. Sonic in return is good to Tails. The sisters are good to each other. Tom is good to Sonic. That one cop, whatever his name is, the hilarious guy, Will. I feel like
that's, I think, name. So, yeah.
Wait. I have to look it up on IMDb. Yeah, and like he's good to the people around him. The people are good to him. I don't know. There's just like, there's something that I really liked about the film where we see characters just have a goodness and a kindness to other people, and that progresses the story really well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look no further than the first, you know, one of the first scenes with them on the boat and him being out all night, and like, you know, you're like, I know you don't want to hear this, but you're just a kid. You don't need, you know, to grow up. You know, you don't need to grow up too fast. And I know you want to do great things, and that time will come. You know, a message about family. They can be in all different forms. Family doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you have to be blood, so to speak. You know, yeah. There's just all of these messages. And again, like the friendship and, you know, even Knuckles, just, you know, Knuckles has a code, so to speak, that he, you know, this was about honoring his father and his tribe. But then, you know, realizing that, you know, him and Sonic aren't really that different. They share something in common. You know, Sonic said it, like, we both lost everything that day. So, you know, Sonic is trying to honor the memory of Longclaw, and Knuckles is trying to honor the memory of his father. And, oh, geez, and again, those things can be so cliche, but they just work in this movie. I like it. I really like it a lot. I think I've mentioned, you know, this a couple of times on certain episodes that I've done, and I mentioned it before. Boy, certain things just show you how much closer we are than sometimes it, like, people would like you to believe. There's way more that connects us than separates us. And I think this movie showcases that really well.
Yeah, I really, really agree with that. I I don't want to add to it too much because I feel like I was just extremely well said. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. That was, I don't know what to say. I'm at a loss for words. It's. I'll just to change tones because I feel like I'm trying to like comment about what you said, but you just said it so well that I don't have anything to say. So to change it a little bit, the one other thing that I'll just mention is that a commitment to who you are. That's the only. It's not very well said. It's not quite getting at what I want, but it's the only way I can say it. Like you just talked about, Knuckles is committed to being who he believes is Knuckles. Sonic, when he's supersonic, conjures up a chili dog.
Right.
Like, and I don't know. It's just like these people are who they are, and they're each helping each other be the best versions of themselves. Like Tom, for example, like that scene in the boat, he doesn't reprimand Sonic for trying to be a hero. He doesn't say, you shouldn't do this. You're a kid. You're going to be in danger. He just says like, hey, don't try and force it. Like, it will happen one day. And like embraces that Sonic wants to do good and has the capacity to do good, but gives him guidance in how to achieve it instead of saying like, don't do that type of thing. And I think that is really awesome to see in community, you know, whatever your community or your family is that buildup of yourself.
Yeah. I think one thing that we didn't mention, I just want to get this out. It's just, I thought it was hysterical talking about Knuckles when Tails is carrying him and he's like, you're heavy. And Knuckles goes, that's because I'm 1,000% muscle. That was really funny. And then I was so at the end when they save everything, Sonic, you know, wins the day and they're like, power bump. I literally was like, oh my God, no, he's going to power bump. Like Knuckles is because he crushes their hands when he shakes it. Right. And when they were like power bump and Knuckles was going, I was like, oh my God, he's going to break their knuckles. Like I was like prepared for him to like break their knuckles. So I was like, oh no, no. But that has nothing.
I actually had that exact.
That has nothing to do with the messages of this movie, but I just, yeah, like he was just really like the dialogue that they had for Knuckles was really funny.
Yeah. He if you have made it through this entire episode and you haven't been convinced to go see the movie, go see it for Knuckles alone. And this, I don't know, interpretation for lack of a better word of the character. It's fantastic. It's really fun. It's really, really fun. So I don't really have anything else to say about Sonic except for one other thing that I wanted to mention in Live Up and that I didn't. They already did a great job in the first film with the visual design and visual effects of Sonic, and they just took it up a notch here. Like his fur looks so good on a lot of those close-ups. This is going to sound weird. The whites of his eyes look good.
Yeah.
Like, they have this glossiness that feels natural. Like his eyes are huge. Like that should not, that's not normal. But yet there's so much of a humanness to him because of the way they design and animate these characters that is fantastic. And so I just didn't want to forget to mention it because it, these messages we just talked about probably wouldn't have the same impact if these characters didn't have the visual endearment that they possess.
Yeah, 100% agree.
So, any last thoughts about Sonic the Hedgehog 2?
Just go see it if you haven't. I mean, go see it. You don't wait. I know here where I am in New York, they have, you know, Tuesday $5 matinee days. If you need to wait for that, go ahead. But whatever your regular price ticket is at your local theater, it's worth it. Here, it's, I think, like 11 something to go see a movie that's not on Tuesday matinee days. I would pay the $11, $12 again to go see this movie. It's totally worth it. Do yourself a favor. It's good. It's worth it. Go check it out.
Yes. And when you do, because I second that, when you do go see it, or if you have already, let us know what you think of it. You can get in contact with the Basin Binge through email. You can message me on Instagram, Facebook. You could join Matt Goes to the Movies Facebook group if you'd like. You can give your thoughts about Sonic the Hedgehog 2 there. So Matt, one more time, I'll give you a chance to kind of plug your show, as we say, talk about it. And even though you mentioned before, any last thing you want to say about Matt Goes to the Movies?
Yeah, no, I mean, just if you like The Basement Binge, I think you will like Matt Goes to the Movies. There's certainly...
You will like Matt Goes to the Movies. I'm interrupting. You will.
You know, even if it's just to listen to the episodes that Harrison is on, there's certainly a lot of them. They were a lot of fun. You know, you mentioned at the top 100 video game podcast one was super fun. It was a blast and one that, like, you know, we thought was going to be difficult, and then all of a sudden just became super fun, super free flowing, just a really fun time talking about those. I loved our Batman. I actually went back and listened to that one, our thoughts on the Batman, which surprisingly enough is coming to HBO Max April 18th. So we are just, you know, wow. 6 days, I think, by the time frame now, 6 days away from that being just readily available to watch whenever you want. It's just a lot of fun episodes, and I think you'll enjoy the show. We're reviewing Halo right now, coming up with the YouTube stuff that we're doing, which is the first episode was for Resident Evil, was a lot of fun. So just it's a casual show for casual fans who like movies. I'm always interested to hear what your thoughts are. Because neither me nor Harrison or Rob, when he's on the show, it's not about, oh, well, I don't like this and you do, so good Lord, you have to be an idiot. I'm always fascinated to just a movie that I can't stand. I'm always fascinated to hear somebody's opinion on why they like the movie. I'm just genuinely intrigued and love the conversation. So, like Harrison said, you know, email Matt Goes to the Movies. That's in the show notes and stuff like that. I just, you know, go to the Facebook pages, leave a review. I love those interactions. They're actually incredibly fun.
Yes. Yeah. Genuinely, if you enjoyed this episode and you want to, I don't know, pay it back, so to speak, to us, the two things, reviews and interactions, are like some of the greatest things you can do. While you're at it, subscribe to Matt Goes to the Movies wherever you get podcasts. That will be listed below. Lots of fun episodes that you can go listen to. We've been doing this for years now, which is weird to say. And we got a great episodes coming. So,
yeah, I was going to say, like, think about how long, because I know at the end of this, well, April 30th will be officially 2 years that I've been doing this, and you were doing it longer than I was. And it's crazy to think about that. Like, I've been doing this show for 2 years, and we've said this before, Harrison, that people listen to it. It's still kind of surreal, but yeah, thinking about the fact that, like, wow, it's been 2 years, almost that I've been doing this. And honestly, it's thanks to the people that do listen to it that I still do it.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun to do it. So thank you everybody for listening. Thanks for all the feedback. So thank you. Thanks for it giving us. I mean, because I would continue to do this at any rate. I'd continue to talk to Matt about movies because it's a blast. But it's fun that there's people out there who listen, whether they agree or not to what I have to say. It's a lot of fun. So thank you everybody for listening to The Basement Binge. Thank you again, Matt, for being here. I really, really do appreciate it. It's been fun to catch up with you and also talk about Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I'm glad that we were both like equally zealous about it. I was worried that like I would maybe be a little bit too much, but I think that we kind of matched each other stride for stride. So yeah, thank you again. Any way that you could contact or follow or subscribe or whatever you want to do with Matt Goes to the Movies or The Basement Binge is linked below. If you haven't heard it enough, this is The Basement Binge, if that wasn't clear. My name is Harrison. Thank you again, Matt, for joining. But that is all for now. Ciao, ciao.
So Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.